It seems like there's a lot of points in life where we get to this question of, well, now what are we going to do? You remember the time where our washing machine stopped? It just didn't work anymore. We had the guy come over.
Yep.
He puts his head down into the washing machine. He comes out and he looks at us and says, "Welp, you're doomed."
Or how about like 2 weeks ago in the cold snap when we had one car that would not turn on, and I don't know how this is possible, but the other car would not turn off. Like, yes, you push the button to turn it off and it just wouldn't turn off.
Yes. Or that time where I'm getting ready in the morning and all of a sudden there is water pouring from the bathtub upstairs and it's coming through the ceiling downstairs into our master closet.
Not just the ceiling, through the light fixture, through the electrical light fixture.
Yes. You know, this is part of life, is we hit these moments, we hit these points where we look at the circumstances that we find ourselves in and say, well, now what are we going to do? And we hit that when we were coming out of ministry. And that was this question of what's going to happen next.
Yeah, that was definitely a big question in that season.
And so the conversation that we have today are with our new best friends. We love Ian and Sherilee Smith. They are not only Canadian, but they have lived in this story, in this place of constantly asking, well, now what are we going to do?
I think theirs is a very encouraging story, though, because they've moved in and out of ministry, both of them, you know, and really gotten a lot of experience navigating the waters of change, transition, and kind of the wilderness of ministry.
Yeah. And it's not just that the wilderness is like this one-time thing that we go through for this period of our life, but they have really, in a very fluid way, have moved in and out of those wilderness seasons. And we're not talking to them on the other side of all of the wilderness seasons. They will even tell us in the conversation here that they're still very much in the wilderness.
But they've learned to abide, I think, in the Lord in that process, and they're more experienced now at how you navigate the wilderness seasons of life, and their faith and intimacy and connection with the Lord has grown over the years as they've had to navigate those seasons of transition.
And so this is the paradox of the wilderness, that even in the wilderness, life can be good. Even in the wilderness, there can be joy. And we hope that you love this conversation as much as we did. Hey, welcome to the Life After Ministry podcast. My name is Matt Davis, and I'm here with Marilee Davis.
Hello, hello.
Good to have you here. And we are joined by Ian and Sherilee Smith from Winnipeg, Canada. Hello, guys.
Hello. Hello. Great to be here.
I'm excited that we have a Marilee and a Sherilee.
Yeah.
This has never happened before.
Yeah, we don't know. They're good names, good people. And what I don't hear behind you, there's a lot of silence behind you, which is probably not the norm, because you said, and I didn't realize this initially, you have six children and you managed to get childcare for them so we could have a conversation here. So well done on that. How does one have six children? You guys have actually, like, this is a ministry for you, right? So you've intentionally brought six children into your home. Even just, let's start there. What was that process like?
Well, the first four were fun. Those ones were good. Yeah.
I don't know. Early on, basically, you know, when my baby turned four and I'm like, honey, let's start over. And he's like, you're nuts. Cause we had four. I ended up at a women's meeting, and this table was filled with all these cute little babies that had different colored skin. And there was a mom in the middle. And I was like, tell me your story. And she said, well, I do emergency foster care. And I was just like, hook, line, and sinker. So took Ian about 10 years to consider that was a good idea.
As it would for me too. No, I understand that, Ian.
Yeah. And so we moved cities, and we landed here, and I went to every fostering and adopting conference that I could get to and bawled my face off every single time and would come home and tell the stories. And we just eventually felt like, well, we asked our girls, they were, my youngest was 13, so 13, 15, 16, 18. Asked them, you guys ready to open the doors and let some new babies in? And they are amazing. So four girls, and they have continued to wow us with their love and compassion. for these little cutie pies. So yeah, at the moment we have two, we have a 2-year-old and a 10-month-old. We just said goodbye to a 1-month-old. We just had her over Christmas. And so super cool. She actually ended up going to a home of family that we knew. And so that's always a good thing. But yeah, that's kind of how we ended up with all these babies.
There you go. Well, and I should say too, we actually changed locations for our house because we had the opportunity to do a mom and babe. So our 2-year-old, actually, we wanted the mom with her.
She was 16 at the time.
The idea was we came into a new house. We sort of finished the house off in a way that we could host her, have more room, as well as all our other kids. And just to really be a part of kind of her life and hopefully breaking some of the cycle that goes along with foster care. So anyways, but the 2-year-old is really the one that's in our care. So, yeah. And so that was the start of it. And now we have 2-year-old So-So. And if you could hear the other one, Chantel right now. And then our 4 biological moms, just moms in waiting. So it's pretty awesome. Lots of hands on deck.
Yeah. I love that it was like a family decision and that your first 4 were part of like, okay, getting on board with this. And it wasn't just a parental, like obviously the Lord stirred your heart, Shirley, first, and then continued to work on the rest of the family. But that's very cool.
And God bless you, Ian, for coming around eventually. I don't know if I'm open to that. I enjoy sleep too much, but I've given in when it comes to animals. We have lots of animals in our house. And that's never been my idea. It's always your idea.
That's true.
Yeah, the animal lady.
I think what they're doing is a little more significant than us probably just collecting animals. But
absolutely. Yes.
Well, I need to say one thing about that because people often say that, like, I'm not sure if I could do it. You always see the cost at the beginning of it. You don't see the blessing. You really don't. Because I think it's our human nature, right? You're like, what is that going to do to my time, my sleep, my whatever? And it isn't for everybody. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, this isn't a subtle rebuke. But for me, in my journey, and it's not really, but I'm talking about myself. For me, I never saw the blessing. I only saw the cost, but now I'm living in it. I'm like, this has been amazing for our family. This has been hard, but it's been awesome. So, you know, for anyone out there that's thinking of it, don't get stuck with the cost, you know, think about the doors that God's going to open and what he's going to do in your family. Cause that's a part of it too. If he's calling you into it, he'll equip you for it.
There you go. I think we can wrap it up right now.
Yeah, let's stop. No more podcasting. This is it's hitting too close to home. Let's dive in. You guys have come out of ministry, but what actually, give us a little bit of the story, your background. You know that it wasn't just one ministry for a long time. There's a lot of ebbs and flows. Give us a little bit of a snapshot of what that looked like for you guys.
Oh, wow. What has the journey been like? I guess to start, sort of the call into ministry came. We decided as a young married couple to go away to Bible college. We went to Hillsong Church actually, and I know for me personally, we were in a group praying for nations. I can't remember what it was. Had a real interesting moment with the Lord where he, anyways, I won't get into it, but really felt like God put a call to ministry into my heart. Then it was confirmed by somebody, another student, just sort of more sort of prophetically. And so that's really where it started for me. I was always just like, I'm just going to go into business. Like, I'm going to go to Bible college. I love Jesus. This is a fun journey. We're in Australia. This is awesome. And you know, Cheryl Lee was always involved in more formal ministry, church worship leading, that kind of thing. And then that happened to me and I started to really fall in love with God's word. And anyways, we started to teach at Bible college a little bit. And then I realized, I think, you know, getting into formal vocational ministry is something I'd be interested in. So that journey led us to actually the West Coast of Canada, where we started in ministry and, you know, just started in sort of like those roles like you do, just joining a team, being given, you know, ushering responsibilities or different things. And so that was sort of our foray into church, where you just started to get your feet wet. Joining a team, learn how to be under leadership.
Well, and I think one thing that even just as you're sharing, I'm thinking is like from the very first experience, because Ian didn't, like, I grew up in church, like more like as a Christian family, and Ian did as well, but it was a little bit of a different, like denomination, different experience, less like, let's talk about Jesus in our home, more let's just
we always go to church on Sunday,
you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But even as I just think right now about, where you started, your pursuit was always mentorship. You were always looking for someone to take you under their wing. You were never like, we never were like looking for position. We were never looking like, we didn't even know. Like when we went to Hillsong Church, we were like, wow, these people are famous. Like we were clueless. Like we were hillbillies from Winnipeg, you know, so we had no clue. But yeah, the journey has really been, and I would say continues today, like looking for our people, like looking for mentorship, looking for our people, looking for our tribe, lonely, longing for Jesus, longing to run with somebody, and then continuing to follow the Lord in that way. Like where, yeah. Like, is it time to move on? And then the one powerful statement that one of the pastors at that first church in BC told us was, you're never ready to leave until you're ready to stay.
Yeah.
So we kicked and screamed for a few months, get us out of here. And the Lord is like, nope. Sit your butts down and serve. And we're like, we hate it here. Just kidding. We didn't hate it. But, and then we just had that awesome conversation with this woman. And she just said, you guys are not ready to leave until you're ready to stay. And we were like, oh, so we went for a few more months. And then all of a sudden you came home one night and you're like, Cher,
we're done.
We could stay here forever. Or yeah, or we're done. You know, like that was kind of the lift that we were waiting for.
Yeah. There was hard things that were a part of that journey, but it was not determining not to leave in offense, determining not to leave because it's bad, things like that. But just when the Lord said so. And so that's probably marked.
Yes.
That has been such a huge part of our journey. And I think making hard transitions, but good transitions, not leaving enemies behind. Not everything was a great fit for us. Maybe that's just part of our story too, in terms of in and out, but I think that's a huge lesson. And for us, for sure, that was what marked sort of our first experience in ministry, and then kind of stepped aside. And then after that, we actually were part of a church, pioneering a church planting, and did that for
10 years, 8 years.
I was not the senior leader, but I was a associate pastor on a team. And then that one wrapped up by having to steward the church through our pastor deciding to, wasn't interested in pursuing his marriage anymore. So like there was some really challenging situations to try to steward a church through.
Wound him up basically having a nervous breakdown.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's go there. You want to go there?
So I had four babies and I was like stuck on the West Coast without my mom and had my bags packed by the door for years. And I'm like, hey, let's go home. Let's go home. And he's like, no, Cher, we're not leaving. I'm like, I just really want to go home. And so again, we're not leaving until the Lord gives us the word.
Yeah.
And the beautiful day when you finally got the word, I was like, yes, he loves me.
I'm glad to go home to my mom. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, like that. And then there was another, another challenging season right there. So, and then coming home, doing some work in the business world, starting, consulting, and then finding some more people and feeling like, all right, let's launch another expression here in Winnipeg. So we launched out, we found a team, launched out and did that. We're part of the leadership team. And then in that situation, just some differences of opinion in terms of how to move and work within the authority structure, not in the church necessarily, but the church we were associated with. And anyways, just some of those interpersonal things that got maybe sowed some seeds of mistrust. Yeah, but again, okay, how am I going to navigate this? At the first sign of trouble, are we diving out? No, it's Lord.
He's the king of hard conversations. So if you hate them, you won't like him. He will go there. He will go there. He will put his finger on it if he feels the Lord is telling him to do it. And that can be very... some people welcome it and some people are like, get out.
Yeah. So just trying to walk in integrity, doing what God asks, not trying to get out of the furnace of these hard situations in ministry. And so for us, it was maybe a little different than for some people who have been in a church for a long, 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 long period of time. I think for me, what my challenge was, maybe people, it could be a similar thing to relate to, is I'm like, am I just not a fit here? Like, which part is me? Which part, like, I'm not perfect. I know that. I've made my mistakes. But for me, that journey and transition was very difficult. And just like, I want this so bad. I love the church. I want to see the gospel, you know, impact people's lives. I love teaching God's word. Why is the church part so hard? Why is the people part so hard? Am I not the right fit? Do I see things differently? So for me, it was a huge journey in really unpacking my heart, having the hard conversations, opening myself up to people to be like, am I the problem here? Like, what's going on? And just allowing the situation to do the best to refine me, God to refine me through the situation.
And some horrible conversations.
Yeah,
like you couldn't even believe some of the things that he sat through. Like he would come home and I'd just be like, you're kidding. Like, just so that was where I was just like, they're battering you. Like, this is not going to work, you know? So that was a hard one to pull out of, because it was really our dream.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
It was so dreamy.
That was the one that the church we helped plant here in Winnipeg. And then from there, really, that was my last formal sort of ministry venture. But for me, the transition part has always just been allowing the Lord to speak to my heart, take ownership over the junk that I have, help to refine and redeem. That's what he does, right? And do it in a way where you can still love the people, love the church, not hate the institution of the church itself, but just see it as a journey in God refining. And it didn't look the way that I thought it was going to look, but.
And in that journey, we came across the most profound teaching about grace and forgiveness, like not grace, like everybody, but it just this specific, it was a teeny tiny little book about grace and forgiveness and about like living in judgment. And I probably read the book 10 times and I probably reviewed it every day 100 times as I would see the faces come up that I was having such a hard time walking in forgiveness with. But I feel like that little teaching carried us, like gave us the ability to be unoffended and like a hot mess. Like, it was awful. But yet, if we would run into those people now, I think I'd have a bit of a nervous twitch, but I think I'd be okay.
For the most part, yeah.
I could read the book before I was having a meeting, and yeah, that was hard.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our story, which is a bit up and down. Someone said one time, and I'll leave it here, but God calls you to ministries through ministries, right? Sometimes you're not always there for the long haul. You don't know what God's always doing, and he'll use everything to redeem, you know, he'll redeem the situation. So, that was a lot of our journey until the last season, when Cheryl Lee really was the one on staff, a directorship role, praise and worship leader in a church. And I was at home, doing other things, you know,
and my last experience, besides the fact that I was going nuts because I don't want to work in a church, I want to be with babies. My kids would be like, Mom, you get paid to do this? Like, who gets paid to like worship the Lord and sit around writing songs and doing, you know? And it was during COVID. So I literally sat at my piano for like hours. And I just felt like the Lord was just like going to spoil me for that season. And just like, it was the best. And yet it was that uncomfortability. It was just like that. But I don't really want to do this. Like, I just want to have babies. And so when I left that ministry, it was beautiful. Like, it was redemptive on so many levels, even from what we had been through. And they loved me. They honored me. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so that was, again, like, the Lord's just so good. He knows exactly what we need. He's so faithful. He just takes us on this crazy journey. And then for that to end so beautifully was just like a treat.
That really stood out to me as you guys are talking. Like, I guess I have a little bit of benefit of knowing sort of what you're doing now, Ian, and also you, Shirley. But mm-hmm. like the process that it takes, like, I think we tend to feel like our world is falling apart if we lose a job or it doesn't go exactly the way that we think it should look. And yet here, like 20 years later, you guys are both in a place where you actually feel like you're doing what the Lord has called you to do.
Right.
And it seems like over the last 20 years, through in and out of, you know, vocational ministry, he's not only growing you, but he's also speaking to you about who you are mm-hmm. and who he's made you to be. And now you're in a season where you're sort of living that out.
That's a great point. Absolutely. You don't always just like you've arrived in ministry, right?
Right. And so, and I don't know if there were seasons where you felt like you had arrived, like you were in a ministry and you were doing things that felt like it was a good fit, or if some of it was just the Lord continuing to, you know, refine you and say like, oh, this isn't quite it. And continuing to teach you who you are to get you to the place that you are now. But maybe for someone who is listening and is either leaving vocational ministry or even like wants to leave vocational ministry, I have a couple people that come to mind when I think of someone who like they know that they're ready to step out of organized church, but are afraid to take that next step because I don't know what I'm going to do. What would you say to that person about maybe take, because for some people, I think it's a leap of faith.
Yeah.
And so what would you say to that person who mm-hmm. knows that the Lord is calling them on to something else, but it takes some boldness to step out into that? Does that make sense?
Totally. What would I tell them?
Do it.
Do it.
You can always come back. Like, you're never just shutting the door forever. So, like, if you feel like the Lord is prompting you to do something, like, just go for it. Like, nothing tried, nothing lost, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's everything that I'd say that I try to help, you know, encourage, you know, guys in through what I'm doing now. And it doesn't matter if you're in vocational ministry or not, but it's like, if God asks you to do something, then do it. And for us, it's just getting over the fear of thinking we're going to fail, all of that stuff. But again, like I've said, one of my things that I've encouraged lots of people in, and it's encouraged me, is in Romans 8, like we talk about how God works all things together for good for those that are called, right, or that he loves and called according to his purposes. But the next verse says, for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And sometimes I think, oh, God's going to work out the good is, oh, God's going to work out all our situations for us. And yeah, he does that. But I think we lose sight of the good that God's after is actually conforming us to the image of his son. So when we step out in faith and we do something, he's just trying to create a better you, a different you. He's trying to get who he put on the inside of you out of you, which is usually just covered with fear, insecurity, doubt, and all these things. Mm-hmm. And so when we step out in faith, we give him the ability to show off in our lives and show us who he is, who we are, and then how he can look after us even when we're in the wilderness. And that's where we are right now.
We didn't step out when we had it all figured out.
Right.
Like, basically, I was in a meeting with some of the girls that I was mentoring, and I got to the end of the meeting and I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'd had that before and now I knew it. And so I called Ian. I'm like, hey, come meet me for lunch. I have something that I want to talk to you about. So he picked me up. I'm like, hon, I'm done. And he was like, ugh. So it took us a while because we were stepping out of finances. Like, we were like, I had a great paying job. It was covering benefits. Like, it had all the good things that a really great job would have. And yet now we were like, we're not doing this for the money. Like, it's just like that natural, right? Like, we just want to hang on to things because it feels safe, but we're like, and most people probably think that we're bonkers. Like, I was just even chatting with my mom yesterday. I'm like, Mom, no one does life like us. Why is it so hard? And she's probably thinking, you're right. But yeah, so then the journey of faith begins. And like, he just meets us faithfully every time. And I just, like, it's just, he's so faithful. Mm. And like, to believe for provision and to believe for direction. And he just like meets us every time. And even though we are stuck in the wilderness at the moment, it feels, thankfully you're getting out. Good job, honey.
Coming
out. I'm just
day.
Waiting for the guy. Like, seriously, figure it out, man. Just doing my job with the babies. But yeah, we're in it. We're in it. We are sold out. Like, God, do not let anything keep us from diving deeply into all that you have for us. Like, imagine getting to heaven and being like, you guys missed that. I'd be like, no. So we're all in. And whether we're leading a church or leading in diapers or whatever we're doing, we are all in.
Ian, will you dive into that? Like, I'm Jewish and we love the wilderness, right?
Oh,
so
you don't love it.
Well, we don't love the wilderness, but
the Lord uses it very effectively. Jewish.
Yes. We're very familiar with the wilderness, but what does that mean for you right now? To be in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And she's saying you're coming out. What is, like, explain that.
Besides the fact I'm talking to a Messianic Jew who's probably going to school me in my theology here. So I'll give you my take, what God's been talking to me about. So, and I'll try to do it quickly, but the wilderness is, you know, God calls us out of something. If he's calling us out of something, sometimes, you know, the next thing he's calling us into isn't necessarily the thing. There's a period, right? It's like, the way I look at it is Israel was in the wilderness. They had a journey ahead of them, but it wasn't supposed to take 40 years because though God took him out of Egypt, he needed to get Egypt out of them, right? It was the unbelief. It was the disobedience. And so like, that's it. It wasn't. So
theology's good so far, by the way.
Okay. So so here's the interesting thing. And this isn't coined by me, but I heard somebody else say it and it was perfect. You know, from my understanding, the word manna actually means, isn't it a question like, what is this? Isn't that what actually manna means? What is this? And so I love this concept that in the wilderness, God leads you with questions. He feeds you with questions. Man does not live by, like Deuteronomy 8 says, using this exact example of manna in the wilderness, it has nothing to do with feeding you. It has everything to do with testing your heart, right? So that you learn to live by every word that proceeds from his mouth and not by bread. So the manna, it was like this wafery stuff that people ate. It was awesome. It was only good for a day. But for me, it's like every day getting up and going, God, what do you want me to do today? And just trying to be practical and hearing his guidance and his voice and learning that I can trust him in that. So we have the story of the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. They were led, they were fed, all of this stuff. But really what God wanted in the wilderness was to lead these people out, get slavery out of them. And that's what he's doing with me. So every day that I'm stressed out about provision, he's trying to get slavery out of me. He's the bondage to the world system or something else that is my supply, not God, right? And so every day I just, like it's what I tell guys in my group. It starts in our heart, right? It's that inward journey of like, God, refine me. Show me where I'm believing lies about myself, you, other people, about my circumstance. Help me take that posture of a son, right? Just to trust that my dad will take care of me. To me, like that, like I'm still working on that. It's still a process. And I'm sure so much better at it than me right now. And I don't, the provider, the worker, all I will run my head through a brick wall to feed my family. And yet I feel like God's like, actually, that's not on you. It's on me. So can you just chill? And I'm like, no, I can't chill actually. So to me, it's that process of allowing God to talk to me about me so that I can chill and rest. Cause that's what Hebrews 4 says. And also talking about this kind of idea, right? To enter into his rest, that the word of God, it speaks. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So can we just, okay, God, let's just let him do that work in me so that I don't have to go in this wilderness again. I want to learn this lesson so I don't have to do it again.
Ian, this is the second time I want to shut the podcast down on you because you keep just, it's coming too close to home. This is supposed to be about you and not what God's trying to tell me in all of this. But I mean, really, like that is the point. When we're in the wilderness, the promised land seems too far away.
Yeah.
And what we want is the safety and security of Egypt. And the right. We were actually talking about this in bed last night was, yep. This is what we talk about in bed, is that they wanted to go back and they were longing for leeks. Like, totally. Leeks are awful. Who longs totally. For leeks? I hate leeks.
This is a man that hates onions also. So like, this is very unrelated.
What are we doing? Cool. And that's the funny thing is like, we want to go back to something that is essentially slavery. It's prison. Right. Paul Young, who wrote The Shack, is a friend.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to him and sharing my story when I'm coming out of ministry and I'm like dying. And I want to just go back to the prison. And he says, you know what the first line of your book is? And I'm like, well, you're Paul Young. I'll listen to anything that you'll say right now.
Right.
And he said, the first line of your book is, you may call it a prison, but I call it home. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of hit me right between the eyes. It still does. Of I want to go back to that security and safety, even though it was awful and it was not where God wanted me. God wanted to bring me somewhere else.
Yeah.
I would rather be there. And this is not comfortable.
It's
and I
not
don't
comfortable.
Like this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just learning to be uncomfortable, finding comfort in him, just in the source that we should be finding comfort in. So yeah, I'm totally with you. I've said the same thing. Like they're complaining about leeks. Like really? Yeah. Like slavery wasn't that bad because at least we had leeks to eat.
There's like a cognitive dissonance there, you know?
Right.
The word that kept coming to me as you were talking was invitation. Like in all of that, even with the manna, what is it? Like the Lord is always graciously offering an invitation to engage and an invitation to exchange our perspective for his perspective, yeah. You know, an invitation into healing, an invitation into growth, an invitation into whatever the next season is. Yeah. And I think so often we miss the invitation, and maybe like what we were talking about earlier, even with adoption, like we're caught up in the fear and the anxiety of like what this next season of wilderness or disorientation is going to mean, but we're missing the invitation because God's always inviting us into something.
Love it.
Better.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. We actually got this from Gary Black. He has this term and I don't know where he got it, but he says, you know, he wants to allow God to father him through something. And I love that. Isn't that, that's what I want in the wilderness. Like God, father me through this, right? In intimacy. And he's inviting us. Yeah, I just wrote a post about this in my group. It was kind of like, what if God wasn't telling you to do anything, but he was inviting you into everything, right? Like whatever he's put in front of you. Would it be different if he was inviting you into something as opposed to you think you need to, he's telling you to do something where it's like, okay, now you're on your own? No, he's inviting you into this next season. And as a good father will clothe you, guide you, feed you. It may not be easy. I think that's the other part of it is like, oh, I'm just such a baby sometimes. I'm like, God, why does it have to be so hard? Right? The comparison, you look around, you see other people. I mean, we went to Bible college with people that are like literally rocking the world all over the place, like superstars. And, you know, here we are slugging away in our basement and we got crying kids and diapers to change. But he's inviting me into it and enjoying the journey with him, I think is really the point of it all. Right?
Absolutely.
And I don't think that, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'd rather hear what you have to say.
Well, I just think like multiple times we've discussed some of the things that we feel like were failures or like we were like, did we miss God? Like, how did we do that or whatever? And like, we've just decided we're not going to do that. Like, we're just going to be like, at the end of the day, God didn't care this or that or the other because he was just more concerned about our hearts in the process. And so again, for people that are like, do we dare jump out or do something? Like, yeah, like just go for it, because you're not, if you're going to end up in the really, really like the worst possible place, then he's just going to rein you in and bring you back. Like he's just so good like that. He's so good. You know, I don't know.
Totally.
And there's a difference, I think. And one of the things, it's funny because we ask if there's any questions that we should bring up, and we haven't gotten to anything, which is great. I'd rather have it this way.
Perfect.
But there is something about when you're in church, we the job is to know about God. And it probably is, I think, a struggle for those in vocational ministry is we don't often get to experience God. But really living this way feels a little haphazard, but you're really getting to experience God because you almost need him more in that wilderness season.
Totally.
You just repeated exactly my mantra. You know, in fact, when Cherilee said I kind of hit the skids back when I was 38, four kids, we were stewarding the church from afar on the board when the senior pastor, who was my greatest mentor, by the way, like he was my father in the faith, you know, Cher said, I always wanted mentorship. And it's true. And for him, he was, and so, you know, definitely no judgment or blaming about his journey or whatever, but we had a job to do stewarding the church when he decided to make the decisions he did. But anyways, I hit the skids, but I was a guy who taught in church, led in church. And all of a sudden I was just riddled with anxiety. I mean, to the extent, like I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof up to that. Like if you had looked at me, you'd never thought that I'd ever been able, you know, I'm sure lots of people thought I had a weakness. I didn't. But all of a sudden I just, you know, so that's another podcast, but kind of ran headlong into anxiety, depression, really had a breakdown. I thought I was going crazy. Anyways, but it was that I realized in all my ministry, I knew about God, but I didn't know him. It's exactly what you said. And that's why I tell people, I knew the scriptures. I knew all this stuff. I didn't know him. And it's that intimate experience with the Father that really led me out of that. And in that moment, that's the biggest wilderness I ever faced. That's what led me to do what I'm doing today. It was that moment when I learned to engage with God in a completely different way, to pray a different way, to expect God to talk and show up and minister to my heart in a different way. That's what led me out of that season and into kind of the rest of the seasons of my life where, yes, we planted another church, started a business and done some things. So, but it was that literally what you said. I knew a lot about God. I didn't know him. There was a big difference for me, and it was the journey and finding out what it meant to know him that changed everything for me.
And so you said it's much different today. This is what you're doing today. What does life look like for you guys technically after ministry, but really you're still doing ministry?
Well, it looks like chasing around kids. Looks like being
actually paying attention to them rather than like being on my phone texting volunteers and not having a clue what's going on.
Yeah. You know, it looks like what I've said, you know, every day getting up, asking the Lord. Yeah, it's funny. Again, like the slaves in Egypt, they would probably get up. They knew how many bricks they had to make a day, right? They had their routine. Like, I realize how much comfort I have in the routine. So now I don't have much of a routine. So it's like, God, what do I do today? I don't want to over-spiritualize it. I have a to-do list. I have clients to support, whatever. But it's like, God, what do you want me to do? And stepping out and doing what we're doing with Hero Collective, I've never done it before. I don't know how to do it. But it's taking this stuff that God put on the inside of me and the things that I know have changed my life. Like, I know they changed my life. They changed my relationship with God, and they energize my faith, and they are everything that I'm about now when it comes to my relationship with God, and just taking it and trying to share it with guys, because I just assume there's other people like me that not necessarily hit the skids maybe as hard as I did, but are governed by fear. They want to step out and do something different, but they don't know if they can. And I just want to create an environment where guys feel empowered to not only hear God, experience him, but then do what he says. And that's what I've always wanted. So I'm trying to create that. So what it looks like today is asking God how to do it, trying to find resources and just going about and doing it and trusting him, because I don't know how.
So this is a ministry that's reaching out to guys in particular. It's called The Hero Collective. And how do people get connected to that work?
Yeah, I mean, a website is herocollective.online. It's based right now around a Facebook group, which, you know, guys can join. But I also do some, you know, coaching on the side where people, you know, if guys are really like, I got an area in my life I want to change, then I work with guys one-on-one. But the group is really just a gathering place, putting the call out to people to say, kind of tell my story, see if it resonates, and say, come on, let's get together and let's create a community here, you know, online that helps empower men to hear God and do what he says. And, you know, guys are joining.
As we wrap, I'm just curious for you guys, you don't know what the future looks like. And we're not promised tomorrow. And so how do you, you know, it used to be that you were born into a family. I'm thinking like the 1600s, not that I was there, but I've heard, I read a book one time. Yeah. You were born into family, you were a blacksmith, and that's what you did the rest of your life. And you have had so many changes and turns. And it's not like you finally learned all of these lessons in the first half of life, and now you're going to apply it and just do the, like, your journey is so untold. How do you live faithfully each day and with an unpredictable God? What does that look like for you?
That's a good question. Big question.
Hard question.
For me, the predictability is, you know, something I'm really big about is discovering your unique identity. So if you allow God the opportunity to speak to you about who you are, that is your guiding light always. It's the expression that he planted on the inside of you. That's an aspect of him. Like, I believe that we all have an aspect of God on the inside of us, and that uniqueness, until we all start to use a term, manifesting it, you know, God's glory will not cover the earth. So our job is to recognize the gift of God in somebody else, believer or unbeliever, help them, connect them to the Father who will speak to them about that unique identity, and then equip them to actually walk it out on the earth to glorify him. Jesus said, John 17:4, you know, this blew me away when I heard it. He's praying and he says, I glorified you. I finished the work you gave me to do. And I think that everybody has that unique identity, unique path, you know, purpose. So when you center on that and your relationship with the Father becomes your guiding light, whether you're, a mom, right? Whether you're a soul pilot, a transformational leader, whether you are it doesn't matter what you are. And it's not vocational. It's an identity, and it's born in you from the Father. So if you allow him to speak to you about that and you keep your eyes on that, that'll always be your guiding light, and it'll always keep you connected to the Father. And then the rest is, you've got to trust him for and gravy.
And we try and have a lot of fun and laugh a lot and keep things light, because there are some intense people in our home. There's some really bubbly people in our home, and sometimes the two shall meet. But yeah, as far as just like the unknown and doing like one day at a time, our house is insane. Our kids are all extroverted, wild leaders. And so we just like live life to the full, and we just push them out the door and encourage them to be who God created them to be. They faced all kinds of bullying and all kinds of crazy stuff in high school, which is why I'm so glad I'm home. So I actually have a brain to help them process. And yeah, we just continue to remind ourselves of how faithful the Lord has been and how he has led us and provided. And then we just
keep going,
wake up another morning where the mercy's just
new,
thankfully. Yeah.
Well, this is my favorite part of, and the reason why we get to do the podcast is just to have these conversations. I think to myself, where have you guys been all of our lives? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So there will be more conversations, and we'll get the gaggle of children that you have around, and we'll just have a fun time. But cool. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for being open to the work of God in your lives and to really truly living out not just life after ministry, but you're doing ministry after ministry, and it's still ministry. It's all ministry, right?
Ministry, yep.
And so God is up to good things, and we're thankful for you guys sharing that. Yeah. So thanks for coming.
Amazing. Thanks for having us. Yeah, really appreciate chatting.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. We hope that you loved Ian and Shirley as much as we did. They have an incredible story to tell. And even though they have come through many valleys and mountains and some really high highs and some really low lows, there's also this sense that their story is in many ways still very much in the middle, or even just beginning the next piece of the journey. And that really is our hope, is that as we talk to people who are trying to figure out what's going on in their lives, where are you at, God, in this process, that maybe that's a question that you're asking. Maybe you are leading a ministry team. That could be in a church setting. It could be a nonprofit. It could be higher education. Whatever that is, if you're looking at somebody on your team and you're wondering, what's next for them, Lord? And that's a conversation that you want to start and have with us, then we would love to have a conversation with you at pastoraltransitions.com. You can find information and ways to connect with us. And if you have a heart for pastors who are coming out of ministry, who are trying to figure out what's next, many of them who come to us don't have the funds to be able to get the help that they need. And so we have a nonprofit arm to Pastoral Transitions that you can find on our website, and you can make a donation. And that donation can even be designated to help somebody who is in that season, the wilderness, trying to figure out what's going on. So thank you for listening. Share this episode. Leave us a rating. And thanks for listening. We're really blessed by all of you who are following. Shalom.